A few years ago, I was missing my mom. My mom passed away right at the beginning of COVID. She didn't die of COVID. She had cancer. But it was made that much more difficult by all the stuff that we were having to go through and who we could contact and be with and who we couldn't. And so I was thinking about her and kind of longing for that connection with family and with the past and what kind of brought me forward. And so I did what a lot of middle-aged people do. I got a subscription to Ancestry.com. Now, some of you have done that because I'm seeing your faces right now. I was like, yeah, man. Now, Ancestry is a website, if you're not familiar with it, that provides information about our ancestors, our heritage, who we came from. And there is information that has been culled from lots of public records and that sort of thing. It used to be that when genealogists would have to do that work, they would have to travel and find a library, you know, kind of like make the librarian happy enough to kind of let them show the records that were available and the like. And so it really kind of speeds up the process. By the way, I make no money from what I just said to you. I don't get a discount. But if you're watching later and you want to reach out, that's when the rim shot would have, there we go. Thank you. Awesome. Now, I did that and I started to learn things about my family. There were things that I knew, you know, and my father was very judicious about what he would tell us, you know. He would tell us the good stories and that sort of thing and kind of conveniently leave out the criminals. Okay. You know, come on, all of us have, you know, that uncle or that cousin. I had an uncle named Bucket. I'm not going into that story. But there were things about myself and things that I was surprised by and learned. You know, there's a television show on PBS that goes through the same sort of thing. Maybe you have seen that with Reverend Gates, who, you know, helps people, well-known people, kind of explore where they come from, some of the records that they may not have had a chance to look at. It's fascinating. I learned there's a lot of English folks. I'm from the part of England, a lot of my folks are from the part of England where Stonehenge was constructed, okay? So I've been claiming Stonehenge as my hometown for a long time now. It's not true, but, you know, it makes for a good conversation. You know, there were people that were lots of English, some Irish and Scots. Some of them, you know, were well known. There was some folks who were, you know, kind of mid-level figures in the American Revolution. One of my ancestors was part of Bacon's Rebellion. There's a family in Ireland that are linen makers, who I have connections with. There was a family member who came from an island off of France, who was there to kind of like harass the French, okay? So all kinds of adventurers and lots of farmers, okay? Lots and lots of farmers. My family crest should be, you know, something between an anvil and a plowshare, you know? Now, there were other things that I discovered in there that I was really not happy about, including the fact that my family had participated in enslaving people. And I am ashamed of that. And it's hard to kind of sit here and tell you that. But it was a reminder to me that we all have things that are hard in our past. And things that people, and I hope that you will not think ill of me for my family's brokenness in that. But sometimes people do. Now, when Naomi and Ruth were making their way through the world, honestly, they would have been understood to be outsiders. Okay? Naomi and her husband went from the Jewish, the Israelite life and area, even though they had family and connections there, they went across the Dead Sea to the what we know now within our world as Jordan. All right, so if you know where Jordan is, contemporary Jordan, that would have been part of the area. They went there for whatever reason, and they found themselves with their sons marrying foreign wives, okay? The women, including Ruth and Orpah, were Moabites. Moabites were not Israelites. They had a lineage connection to Lot. You all remember Lot and Abraham? Lot being Abraham's nephew. Abraham took him along with him on the trip, and then they split. And Abraham said, you could have the north or the south, but we can't continue to go together. And Abraham said, I'll take the east. And then off he goes. Moab, that region, became a polytheistic region. They do not worship the Lord that was understood within the Israelites. There were multiple gods, and their people were culturally, even though there's some lineage, they're culturally very, very different. And there is Ruth and Orpah. Now, all the husbands died. Naomi's husband dies, the sons die, and so that leaves Naomi and the girls. And they are culturally in big trouble because a lot of the lineage and a lot of the economic responsibility fell to the men. So widows in the first century around when Jesus was beginning his ministry, and in previous years, and we're talking, you know, quite some time before Jesus shows up, in previous years, if you're a widow, you're in trouble. And if you're a daughter of a widow, if you're an independent woman somewhere along, you're in real economic and social trouble until you can attach yourself to a man. I'm not advocating that. I don't say that that's right. But you need to understand that's the cultural moment in which she found herself. So Naomi and Ruth and Orpah are in trouble. And here they are trying to make sense of what should I do? Naomi is so brokenhearted, she will actually begin the process of renaming herself. Naomi meaning pleasant, to renaming herself as Mara, which is bitter. Broken. So Naomi says, I'm going to go back to my people across the way, and says, you need, girls, you need to go and find some nice Moabite men that will take you in. Find another husband. I'm going to leave. And they say, no, we want to go with you. I mean, that's love right there. Right. That's mother-in-law love right there. Some of y'all got that, you know what I mean? And so I won't tell you who smiled just now, but I saw some knowing mother-in-law kind of love smiles. So I, stand and I look at this story and I think, what a desperate situation that it is. They say, oh, we're going to stay desperate with you and go with you to wherever it is that you're going back. And Naomi will not have that. She fusses with them. They say, no, we're not going to do it. But Oprah, we're not going to judge Oprah, but Oprah decides, all right, I'm going back to be with my people. But what does Ruth do? There you go. Who said that? Stay. All right, gold star for you. This is good. She not only stays, she says, I'm coming with. She's not like they're going to like camp out there. She's going to enter into a culture and a world that is very different from what she ever had thought she would live into or exist. So she picks up and goes, wherever you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. I will follow you, and I will worship the God that you worship. I mean, she's ready to completely turn over everything that she understands about who she is. But the world around her, particularly the world that she's entering into, would have looked at her and gone, that does not belong here. Okay. If you remember some of your Old Testament, there is actually very clear direction that don't you let your sons and daughters marry foreigners. Foreign wives are going to be the downfall of our culture because they're going to bring in foreign wives, foreign gods, these wives. And next thing you know, the whole idea of who God is, remember last week, I'm the Lord your God and you will have no other gods before me, right? All that gets challenged. And so there is this person who left, is in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, and she's bringing back a foreign wife, daughter-in-law. And she doesn't, neither one of them really belong here. Why would you come back like that? Why would you do this? Do you get what's at stake here? And the kind of hard boundaries that are at work inside of this dynamic where Ruth and Naomi struggle their way back. I mean, Naomi is, getting back into the area, and she is with her daughter, kind of like gleaning fields, trying to get enough to eat out of like what's left in the fields, like a very poor person would have to do within that time and culture. Okay? It's really bad. It's really bad. Now, hold that understanding. If you've read the story of Ruth, and boy, I really encourage you to spend so just a little bit of time. It doesn't take long to read because what happens is Naomi works with Ruth to find a kinsman with whom she can develop a relationship and marry. And actually, what happens is what should have been a complete wholesale rejection turns into welcome to the family, welcome to the community. And when there's a child that comes from that, it's understood to be partly Naomi's child and partly Ruth's child, and it's part of the family. It's a good little boy. What had to be a broken, pushed out relationship did not happen. Did not have to be. Are you getting that with me? Are we together on that? There should have been rejection, but that was overturned by a thing called Hesed. Yeah, I said that right. I've struggled to say this word right. I'm going to teach you this word. Let me try it in Hebrew, okay? Because Hebrew is a guttural language, so there's like, can you do that with me? Yeah. There's different versions of in there, but there's one. So Chesed. Now, if you say the name of the composer Bach, right? Say the CH part of that. So try it. Chesed. Come on. Oh, you're pretty good. Now, if you're from the South, then you can say it the American way, which is Chesed. Or some version thereof. Okay, Chesed. Say that with me. Chesed. Now, Chesed is one of the most critical. If you learn this, you're going to be able to impress all of your friends. Okay? So when you're at lunch later on today or with your family, you want to drop that right in front of them, like, oh yeah, in church we talked about Chesed. And you can easy, you know, try it in the Hebrew. So the idea of Chesed is the idea of what carries the relationship between Ruth and Naomi, what carries the relationship between people beyond even the laws and the expectations of the community. It's translated as loving kindness. It's grace. Y'all ever sing that song, Amazing Grace? You heard that? I think you've heard that. Have we sung that here? I don't think we've sung that here. But maybe we ought to, because just no pressure, Willis. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. Can you play Amazing Grace on the drums? Oh, challenge. Here we go. No, it's grace. It is saying that in spite of what category or group or affiliation that I might think you have, I might know you have, in spite of that, you are a person of value, of sacred worth, and you are a person who needs to be treated with the same respect of anybody else. That's radical, by the way. Because we're wired in some ways to kind of look at somebody and go, you know, wrong color, wrong eye color, wrong ideology. Oh, they're from that political party. Nothing good comes from that crowd. Right? Those kind of barriers that get set up among people that divide people are not the way of God. Please know that the way of God is never about division. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all this ancestry kind of stuff is that Ruth and Naomi, in their radical place, in their going beyond what was legally set aside of you don't do those kind of things. Ruth and Naomi wind up being in Ancestry.com on Jesus. Y'all have a Bible? Anybody have a Bible? That's good. Go find your Bible and open up the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew starts really rough because it goes through the Ancestry.com, no subscription needed, for Jesus, okay? That's why it's right there. And there's some points that are being made in that, including the fact that Jesus comes from the house of David. Have you heard this? Right. At Christmas time, we might sing, "Once in Royal David's City," right? And it's, David's city was Bethlehem, all right? So Jesus comes from David, right? All that long line to get to the household and the kingdom of David. And if you go back and you look at David's great-grandmother is Ruth. Let that set in for a second. Foreigner. Outsider. Dangerous to our community and our culture. Don't you let them in. No. It says something about Chesed, loving kindness. It says something that in spite of those things that might divide us, in spite of who we love, who we look like, who we vote for, who we might say is a good or bad person. In spite of all those things that might divide us, right there in the middle of it is enough love and enough compassion and enough kindness to keep people together long enough to be in the genealogy that brings us Jesse, the father of David, David, the king, and moving forward. Does David get it right? David's a mess, right? Some of y'all know that story. But still, this is what brings forth the one who comes and saves us all. Perhaps chesed may be the thing that we hold to as we move forward now. Hard, but it's the place to start. In fact, ancient rabbis would say this is the core ethical value of the scriptures. Now, in the book of Numbers, there is this blessing that goes something like, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. Have you all heard this? Right. So let me invite you, as part of your homework this week, is to, and it's, by the way, Numbers 6, 24 through 26. That's where you'll find it. Because there will be people in your life that you're going to look at, and maybe the people that stand on your last nerve, right? Or maybe the people that are just around you and you're not really sure about. Maybe it's that those people that are standing on the sidewalk as you drive by. Or the people that are gathered together at McDonald's looking for day work. Or maybe it is someone who is trying desperately to keep their child quiet in the middle of a hard situation. And maybe it would be good just to pray this to them. Maybe not out loud, they might look at you weird, but just to look at someone who is really struggling and in your heart go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. It's that kind of kindness. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. That's the kind of kindness that will change the world. I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me that's going to be on the screen. God of the people, your servant Ruth showed great love when she clung to Naomi. Teach us to show great compassion and to turn to you when we are in need. Amen.